Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. Okay. Yud Aleph Dalet. The Pesukim are discussing Mashiach. Melech HaMashiach, and what the world will be like in the time of Mashiach. The Shofat B'Tzedek Dalet. Pasuk describes four different functions, four different roles of the Melech HaMashiach. The first thing is the Shofat B'Tzedek Dalet. He will judge with Tzedek the Dalet. Let's just read the whole pasuk in its entirety, then we'll go back and explain each part separately. And he will rebuke with uprightness. Mishar, the Mitzvah says, comes from the word yashar, with correctness. The humble, anve means the humble of the earth. Vihika eretz, he will hit, smite the earth. B'shevet piv, with the rod of his mouth. His words will have power. With the wind, the breath of his lips, he will take the life of the Russia. So now let's explain the pasuk again. The four different stages of the pasuk. The pasuk begins, the shafat b'tzedek dalem. Simply, this refers to that he will judge with righteousness the poor who thus far have been exploited, have been robbed, have been hurt. He will now, there will finally be a person that will be their advocate. He will judge with b'tzedek. Dalim the poor, he will free them from their oppressors. Now the next part is a little tricky. The Hoychiach b'mishar, he will rebuke b'mishar la'ana. Who will he rebuke with mishar? So it's not really clear in the pasuk, but the way the Mefarshim explain this is, at least the Mesudas is, he will rebuke with uprightness the wicked, the rishahim. He will rebuke them for the benefit of the Anvei Oretz, the humble of the earth. So in this interpretation, the Anvei Oretz parallels the Dalim. In the beginning of the pasuk, we mentioned the poor. Here we are also referring to the poor, the humble, the meek, those that have no one to fight on their behalf as the Anvei Oretz. When it says, V'hichiach, he will rebuke B'misha, he is rebuking the Rishoyim, the powerful wicked people, for the benefit of the Anvei Oretz. Then it says, Vehiko Eretz B'Shevet Piv. And then first, he will smite the earth with, he will rebuke the nations of the world, and Uvruch Pisufasav, and with the breath of his lips, Yomis Rasha, he will bring death upon the evildoer, the Mepharatim and Midrashim. Zad Melech HaMashiach, just through his curse, will bring death. He will not have to physically kill or instruct an assistant or anyone to actually go forth and go to war and defeat the enemy just through his curse, just through his words. Just when we find when Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe said, Hale Hargeni Ata Omer. We found when Moshe saw the two Jews that were fighting, the Shnei Anoshim Ivrim, they were Nitzim, they were fighting with one another. So he said to one of the Jews, Loma Sakes Shreyecha, why are you hitting your friend? And that Jew said to him, Moshe, are you going to kill me? Hal Hargeni Ata Omer. Are you going to take my life, Omer, with your words? Kasher Harakta Es HaMitzri. Just like yesterday, or before I saw you, I saw there was a Mitzri, and the Mitzri was hitting a Jew. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayifen Kov V'Kov, Vayar Ki Enish, Moshe looked, and he saw that no one would come from this person. And Moshe, just through his Koyach Hadibah, through his curse, he took the life of the Mitzri. This Jew said to Moshe, will you do the same thing to me? Hal Hargeni Ata Omer. Will you kill me with Omer, with words? That it will be the same, the koach of taking the life of a person just with their dibar is found in the Melech HaMashiach. Uveruach sefasav, just with the breath of his lips, yamis rashaik, he will have the power to take the life of the evildoer. So we have this parallel of Melech HaMashiach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, go back to the pasuk again. So this is one interpretation of the pasuk. However, let's go back to the second part of the pasuk. Another interpretation is that the one that the Mashiach will rebuke with uprightness is the humble. In other words, the ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov lo yechata. Just like the arrogant and the wicked are deserving of punishment, sometimes the poor, lo sedar p'nei dol, do not show favoritism to the poor. The Melech HaMashiach will be fair. If the poor man is guilty, he's guilty. Melech HaMashiach is not going to favor the poor, and that's what it means here in this part of the Pasuk. V'hochiach b'mishar, he will rebuke with yashus le'an ve'aretz, the humble. Just because one is poor and humble and meek does not mean he will be free from guilt. If he is deserving of punishment, then the Melech HaMashiach will give him Musar as well. Okay, so that is another interpretation for that part of the Pasuk. The Gra, I think the Gra explains that there are really four, there are four parts of the Pasuk, and it refers to four different categories of people in the time of Mashiach. The first part of the Pasuk is the Dalim. The Shafat B'Tzedek Dalim. The Dalim simply means according to the Gra, Dalim refers to people that are spiritually poor. In other words, arrogant, wicked people will be judged with tzedek. The Melech HaMashiach will punish them, will judge them. The dalim, the wicked people who are spiritually poor. Then the v'hoichiach b'mishar la'an ve'aretz refers to the tzadikim. Tzadikim also are in need of musar. So the an ve'aretz are the humble, the tzadikim. Hoichiach is musar. B'misha with righteousness, she'll give them a shir and mesilas yisharim, shari tshuva. So, and it's interesting the difference of words. When it comes to the rishoim, the pasuk used the more powerful word v'shofat. The Melech HaMashiach will judge. That refers to the dalim, the rishoim, who are spiritually poor. When it comes to the anvei aretz, the tzadikim, he's not going to judge, he's not going to punish, but instead v'hichiach, he will give musa, rebuke, b'misha with uprightness, which on high on their level, he will refine them further. Then, when it says "Vehiko Eretz B'Shevet Piv," that refers to the nations of the world. The nations of the world, or refers to Rishayim who are wicked publicly, in the open. So these people who are wicked openly, they will be hit with the Shevet Piv. And the last part of the pasuk, according to the Gra, refers to Rishayim. People who sin privately, no one is watching. So for them, uberuach sefas of yomis rasha. That's a different category of evil people. So there are really three categories of evildoers: 1, 3, and 4. And the part in the middle, part number two, refers to the tzaddikim, and each one will get what they deserve. Okay, pasuk hey, v'hoyet tzedek ezor masnaf. Melech HaMashiach will wear a belt. Ezer means the belt, Masna means his loins, his waist. Veho emuna, and faith will be Ezer, will be a belt of Chalotzav. The Mitzudas tells the word Chalotzav and Masnav are almost identical. Two words which mean the same thing. The loins, the waist area. Melech HaMashiach will wear a belt. What is his belt? It's not a physical, but rather it's a belt of Tzedek and a belt of emuna, faith. There are many beautiful interpretations of what this pasuk refers to. The Targum explains that it refers to who will be his friends. How will you know that this person is really the Melech HaMashiach? So just like a belt surrounds a person, protects a person, embraces a person, Melech HaMashiach will be surrounded by tzedek. His friends, his colleagues, his associates will be good people. Sometimes you find the person, he appears to be very righteous, and you look at who are his friends. He's buddy-buddy with all of the corrupt politicians, with all of the wealthy people, which are not known to be very, very, very good people. It's not the way Mashiach will only associate with, he'll have an Ezor of Tzedek. People that will surround him will be righteous, and he will, Ezor Chalotzav will be people of Emuna, of faith. Only surrounded by the best, most righteous and ethical people. That is how the Targum interprets this pasuk. That's a very beautiful pshat. I saw another pshat. I think this comes from the Gra. I also saw the same thing in Rav Shimon Schwab's Sefer. It's a beautiful pshat. What's the difference between a Ezer Mosnov and an Ezer Chalotzov? The Ezer Mosnov, they're both belts. They're both belts which wrap around the waist. But an Ezer Mosnov is a belt which wraps around the outside of one's garments. It's visible to everyone. Everyone sees, okay, a person has a belt. Everyone can see your belt. You go to the store, it costs a lot of money, buy a nice belt, expensive belt. Then there's something called an Ezer Chalotzav, that's also a belt, but that's a belt that wraps around one's undergarments. it's not seen. Chalatzav refers to the inside. What's betzina? For example, the Malach, I think, said to Yaakov, was Yaakov, umalochim mechalotzecha yetzeyu. Kings will come from your loins. That means from your pneumius. I mean, it means from the what betzina, what's concealed. So here we have two types of belts. We have the Ezer Masnav, the belt that's visible for all. The Ezer Chalatzav, the belt that's under the clothing. It's a belt for the undergarments. Two types of belts. The belt that is visible will be a belt of tzedek. Everyone will know, it will be public knowledge, that this individual is 100% righteous. He's a tzaddik. What is his inner belt? What girds him? What's the inner belt? Which is not visible for all. That's emunah, faith. His koach, his inner being, is emunah. He's an ish emunah. That's what keeps him going. That's his the source of his kedusha. So, befarhesia, one must be an ish tzedek, and betzina, one must always be a person of pure faith. Okay, pasuk vav. These are famous pasukim. The gar zeiv im keves.
This is the famous pasuk.
Famous pasuk. The time of Shiach. Now these pasukim pretty much. I mean, there's more, but now we're shifting. Until now, we've been describing the last couple of pasukim from the beginning of the parak until this pasuk, describing the attributes, the midos of Melech HaMashiach. Now we're going to discuss the environment, what life will be like in the time of Mashiach, the environment. So during this period of time, the gar zev im keves, the wolf will live. Gar means to sojourn with the keves, with the lamb. Now these are animals which do not normally get along. The wolf attacks sheep, and the sheep are terrified. They're petrified from the wolf, and the wolf, every time it sees a sheep, it's on the offensive. Nope, that's not the way it's going in time of Mashiach. The whole situation will change. The wolf will live. Gar means to live. Will sojourn with the sheep. The nomer, nomer is a leopard. A leopard, well, we don't really know what a nomer is. That's a discussion in Masech the Sanhedrin. What exactly is a nomer? Let's assume now, for the sake of simplicity, it's a leopard. It's a wild animal. In Gedi, Gedi means a kid, a small little sheep. Your butts will lie down. Gedi can mean dead. Gedi can mean different things. Sometimes Gedi means a goat. Sometimes it means just a small sheep. It's used to refer to a very small animal, a very small domesticated animal, either a small goat or a small sheep. If I'm not mistaken, I think generally it refers to a small sheep. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it refers to a small goat. But it can refer to a young domesticated animal. Yerbatsi will lie down. These two creatures will lie down together in the field. There will be no danger, even though in our times where we know it, these two animals not get along. And the leopard is a vicious animal, it's a predator. It will attack and kill the gedi. The egel is a calf. Okay, that's a baby ox. Ukefir. Kefir is a lion. A lion, Chazal, in the Tanakh, there are seven names for a lion. There are seven. You have Gur, Aryeh, here's a kefir. There are seven names. They refer to the different stages of development in the lion. The lion develops over seven different stages. There are seven names. Here is one name of a lion. Umari. Mari means a fattened sheep. It means animals that have been fattened for slaughter. Yachtov, they will travel together. Egel, Ukfir, Mari, Yachtov. There will be an eagle. There are three animals here. An eagle, Ukfir, Umari. There will be a calf. There will be a lion. And the Maria fattened sheep, Yachtov, together they will walk in the field together. And who will lead them? The Nahar Koton Noheg Bam, and a young child will lead them. Can you imagine such a scene? A young child is guiding a lion with a calf and a sheep. This is something which is the animals themselves don't get along. And the child is not a match for the lion. And yet, even though we have this lethal combination, which nothing makes sense, three animals together and a child, to add that into the mix, doesn't make sense. Can't be such a thing. No, that's how it's going to be in the time of Mashiach. Okay, now the pasuk says, "Ufaro v'dov v'tirena," an axe. That's a large ox. V'dov and a bear. Again, two animals which don't get along. Tirena yachtov will graze together. Yirbitsu. They'll graze together, and yirbitsu yal dehen, and they will lie their children down. The lion, the the bear and the para, the para with the eagle, and the bear with its child will put to rest their children in the field, and nothing will happen. It will be business as usual. The aryeh, now here is something a little bit different. The aryeh, a lion, kabokor yochal tevet. A lion that only eats meat, and bakar eat. They eat vegetation, grass. It's not their digestive system is not set up to interchange. An aryeh is not meant to eat straw. Yet in time of Mashiach, no big deal. The aryeh, the lion, kabokar, just like the bakar yochal tevin, will eat straw. That's how it's going to be in time of Mashiach. So here we have over here, kabel psukim pavav zayim, two psukim which describe the situation of the animals. And it describes their behavior. Two things that really describe their behavior, and it describes three things. It describes the behavior with one another. It describes their behavior with man, and that's represented in the fact that a nar katan, a young child, will guide the animals. And it describes their eating habits, which is unusual. Three things here which are unusual, which are inconsistent with the way we know it today. How they relate one to another, how they relate to man, and how they relate to food. All of these things will change in time of Mashiach, and things will be not the way we know it today. Now the question is, are these psukim to be taken literally, or are these psukim to be taken as a mashal, as a metaphor for what will be in time of Mashiach? So there are different opinions. Some farshim learn, no, that there will be a shinui in the teva, that Hashem will change the world. We don't understand what this means, how it can be such a thing, how the nature of these animals. Animals are not balei seichel, they live on impulse. Their senses will be different, will be changed when Mashiach comes, and that's how they'll be able to live with each other and live with man. Even to the point where this is something which is very even more difficult to understand. It's not just a matter of character and midos, but it's even in relation to their digestive systems. How could it be that a bakar, an aryeh, will eat tevin? It's just not the mitzias today. It does just their bodies are not set up to eat straw. How could such a thing be? So some of Farshim take this literally. Yes, that's what's going to be. There's going to be a shina. There's going to be a change in teva. Okay, we have to whatever that means. That's what it says. Other Farshim do not work with this premise that the psukim ought to be translated literally. And this, in really in truth, is a very big dispute, disagreement, how you can interpret all the psukim throughout Tanakh. How, to what degree are they taken literally, and to what degree are they nothing more than a metaphor, a mashal? You have this in Rashi. That was the chiddush of Rashi. So we're so used to learning chumash in Rashi, we don't even realize what Rashi did. Until Rashi came along, you have to read the history of Rashi. There are different books that describe Rashi, you know, the biography. There's not really much we know about Rashi. They try to draw it out as much as possible. But until Rashi came on the scene, there were two groups of parshanim, people who explained Chumash. There were those that took every pasuk literally. Every pasuk had to be translated literally. Nothing is a mashal. Nothing is allegorical. It's literal. And then there were mafarshim that said, no, there's everything in the Torah, nothing is to be taken literal. Nothing ever happened. Everything is purely a mashal. It's purely refers to Kabbalistic concepts. Rashi came along and put them together and was made compromise that this pasuk should be taken literally and this pasuk is not to be taken literally. This pasuk is to be understood as a mashal. Rashi had a very great talent in his ability. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks.
Is it working?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks. Rashi had this ability, this talent in deciding or focusing this pasuk should be interpreted literally and this pasuk should be interpreted as a mashal. And you have the same issue here. And these psukim, how do you interpret these psukim? You have here the animals living together. Is it to be taken literally, or is it to be taken as a marshal, what will be in reference to the nations of the Lord. So if you take a look, like we explained so far, we already explained that. But according to others, this refers to the nations of the world. The truth is, the animals are going to continue to exist the same way they exist today, in time of Mashiach. Just like today, a lion does not get along with a gedi, a lion's not going to get along with a gedi when Mashiach comes. As the Rambam says, there's no difference between the way we know the world today and the time of Mashiach, ela shibud malchios bulvat. Everything, olam kiminhogo enog, everything will be exactly the same. The lions, the sheep are not going to get along. You're not going to let your little child go out into the field and start playing with lions. It's not going to happen. There'll be a zoo, and the lions will be kept in a cage. And no one will be able to get too close because it's sakonas nefashos. And the lions are not going to be eating straw. But the pasuk says the lions are going to be eating straw. The pasuk says that these different creatures will coexist in harmony. It's a mashal. It refers to the nations of the world. There are nations today that don't get along. We don't have to elaborate. That's how the world is. Some nations, they just don't get along. When Mashiach comes, the koyach of the Melech HaMashiach will be able to bring peace. Lamar Behamisra, to bring peace. Yeah. The Shalom and Kates. He will be able to take the nations, a nation that to us appears as a lion, a nation that appears to be a sheep, and a narrow katanya of a young leader who's inexperienced. An inexperienced leader with no education, no background, will be able to guide that, will be able to guide and bring nations together. And when it says that an Aryeh Kaboko Yochal Tevet, it means that a nation that was once an Aryeh, which only was able to live on an economy that was a sophisticated economy and had luxuries and the best that life had to offer, things will change. Their interests will not be such where everyone must be driving the most expensive car. They'll be able to live on Tevet. They'll take public transportation. Public transportation will become the way of the world. That's all the pasuk means. It's not necessarily meant to be taken 100% literally. So you have two mahalchim and how to learn these two psukim. Either it's to be taken literally, there's going to be a shini in the teva, at the kach, where the digestive systems of animals will be changed and they'll eat different types of food. Or no! Olam kiminhagoy nog. This is nothing more than a mashal for the way the world order, the way we know the world today. We cannot imagine different countries cooperating together on any project. We cannot imagine the economy, the desires, the lifestyle of one country changing and adopting a lifestyle of another country. That's the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches Vishi Asha Yonek Alchur Posen. Now Vishi Asha is a very interesting word. It means to delight. It means to rejoice. If you look at the Mitzvot Sion, Inyan Hisaskus L'smach, to involve oneself in joy. So a child will play. What it means, a child will enjoy himself. A yonek al chur posen. Posen is a dangerous snake. I don't know more than that. I'm showing the English translations. I forgot what it said. What it said in English. If someone has an English translation here, a certain type of dangerous snake. And chur means the hole, the crack. There's a crack in the ground, and the posen lives in this crack. You wouldn't dare let your child go out to the field and play in that area because the dangerous scorpion, whatever it is, will come out of this crack and bite the child. Poisonous bite, the child can die instantly. No problem. At this point in time, when Mashiach comes, like we explained, either it's going to take it literally, it was a metaphor, a child will play right up against the core, the crack of the posen, and there's no danger, the posen will come up and bite, could bring harm upon the child. Down the Uras Sifoni. Siphoni is another dangerous snake. Mu'uras means one of two things. Either it's a synonym for chur. It parallels the word chur in the beginning of the pasuk. The crack, just like the chur pasen, is the mu'uras siphoni. There's the crack in the earth where the siphoni lives. And again, the gamul means a child who has been weaned from his mother. So the child's approximately 2 years old, a toddler. Yodo, his hand, hada. Hada is an unusual word. I do not believe, I think the Torah say that there is no other, there's no equivalent. It's not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. Hada in this context means to lift up and place, to set, to set his hand upon this hole or upon the eye of this dangerous snake. So the lesson of pasuk means one of two things. A young child, who here is called a gomul, it means a toddler, from the word of vaygomel Sarah, I don't remember the exact words, the pasuk that Sarah weaned means to wean a child. When a child reaches the age where he no longer needs his mother, so it's approximately 2 years old, a toddler will, yado hada, will put his hand, will rest his hand on the mu'uras sifoni, on the crack in the earth where the tzifoni lives, and not be afraid, the parents will not be afraid that the tzifoni will come up and bite the child. Or, mu'uras comes from ur, ur means light, on the eye. The light of a creature is the eye. The child will put his hand on the eye. That there's nothing that you cannot provoke a living creature more than putting your hand on their eye. The eye is the most sensitive part of the body, and any living creature will defend itself and use whatever Hashem has given it to strike back. So here the tzifoni is an extremely dangerous type of snake. It's poisonous. Smallest bite can kill a person. And here a child is provoking the tzifoni, of course innocently, doesn't realize he's just having a good time, the child, and the child puts his hand on the eye of the tzifoni, and yet nothing happens. The tzifoni does not fight back, because the tzifoni realizes, why should it bite this little innocent child? The child did not mean to harm it. And therefore the tzifoni doesn't, he just plays along, he lets the child play with it. So that is only something which can happen in time of Mashiach. Such a thing cannot happen now in the world we know it today. So to read the pasuk again in its entirety, v'shi'asha, we have some very interesting words, v'shi'asha yonek al-chur pasen, a child will delight, will take pleasure by playing on the chur right near, al here means against the chur, the crack in the earth where the pasen, this poisonous snake, lives, the al, and furthermore, upon the mu'ras tzifoni, either the eye of the tzifoni, this poisonous snake, or the crack in the ground where the tzifoni lives, gomul, a toddler, yado, his hand, hada, will raise up and put his hand, and the parents will not have to worry. No daigus. What are the kids doing? It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? That commercial will be removed when Mashiach comes, because parents will not worry what will happen to their children. Next, pasuk tes. Lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi yareyu lashon of ra. There will be no evil, and there will be no destruction. Harm will not come. There will not be any lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi upon my holy mountain. Can the Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, har kodshi, the whole Eretz Yisrael, the whole Yerushalayim. Can you imagine? You don't have to worry. You turn on the news, read the paper. What happened today? What violence? What attack? Nope, there will be evil and destruction will not occur. B'chol har kodshi. Why not? Ki mala'o ha'aretz de'a es Hashem. The earth is filled with knowledge of Hashem. Kamayim. There will be so much knowledge in time of Mashiach. It will be equivalent. Kamayim. Like water. La'yam mechasim. Like water covers the ocean floor. Yom. See, we call Yam the sea. But in Tanakh, that's not what Yam means. Yam means the ocean floor. It means the cavity of the ocean. What is in the Yam? Mayim, water, fish, sea creatures, all different types of things are in. We know today a lot more about outer space, about Mars, than we know about the ocean floor. It's a fact. It's much more exciting to explore Mars and the moon and the solar system. We spend billions and billions of dollars, trillions of dollars exploring. And at the Earth, how far do you have to go down? You only have to go down a couple of miles and down to the ground. And there are things down there we have not yet explored. Not because the technology doesn't exist or there's just no interest. It would spend the same amount of money in creating machines and creating robots to go down and explore the ocean floor, we would discover Neflois Habore. Not interested. It's not exciting. It's much more exciting to go and search outer space. So we have to be precise in the translation of these words. Yom refers to the ocean floor, the cavity. Mayim is what fills up the Yam. When Mashiach comes, the earth will be filled of Dea, just like the Yam is filled with enormous amount of liquid. what is it, two-thirds of the world is water. Two-thirds of the world, that's how much, so the cavity, the yam is, that's just like there is two-thirds of the world is mayim, that's how much knowledge will be, mayim will be the majority, will fill up the world. Now there are many beautiful things in this pasuk. First of all, this pasuk I translate literally that the Bahar Kodesh refers to Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says this refers to the Yetzirah. This was fits very well in this week's parasha. This parasha about the Mishkan. Why was there a need to build the Mishkan? According to Medrash Mefarshim, before the Chet or Egel, there was no need to build a Mishkan. The Shechina would rest in a person's heart. There was no central location to come bring Karbanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The building of the Mishkan only was necessary, became necessary after the Chet HaEgel. Then man was no longer fit to serve as a receptacle for the Shechina. There had to be a physical place, center in the world where the Shechina would rest, and that would be the Mishkan. So this pasuk, according to the Medrash, refers that we will go back, when Mashiach comes, we will go back to that point in time, that level of purity where the Shechina will rest inside a person's heart. Har Kodesh refers to the heart, the lev, according to the Medrash. And v'lo yorei v'lo yashchis refers to the yetzer hara. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min uraf. That when Mashiach comes, there will be a yetzer hara. Okay, well, there are different stages in what happens when Mashiach comes. Ultimately, when the yetzer will be slaughtered. But there will be a point in time where the yetzer will still exist, will still reside, but the Yetzirah will not cause harm. It's a beautiful follow-up from the previous psukim. These are beautiful, you have these psukim. We have first pasuk Vav and Zayin. We discuss the animals. The animals will live peacefully with each other. Then we discuss they'll live peacefully with man, and they'll eat different things that we cannot even imagine. And then we discuss children. Children will play and do things that are unusual. And then we discuss, and even the Yetzer Hara will make peace with man. The Yetzer Hara will live in the heart as today. Today the Yetzer lives. Ki Yetzer Leif Ha'adam Ramin Urav. The Yetzer Hara lives in our hearts, but the Yetzer Hara is destructive. It destroys the world. When Mashiach comes, we'll go back to a point in time where the Shechina will rest in our hearts, and the Yetzirah will live in our hearts, and just like the Gor Ze'ev in Keves, the Yetzirah will live in our hearts and will not cause any harm. It's a beautiful, beautiful interpretation. V'lo yorei v'lo yashchis v'chol har kodshi. The Yetzirah will not cause evil, will not cause destruction in my holy mountain. And the holy mountain means in your heart. Why? Because when Mashiach comes, the earth will be filled with Deah. Kamayim layom lechasim. Now there are two other very interesting things. Kamayim layom lechasim. This is a famous Chazal. Chazal say that Chochma only goes to one who is humble. Moshe was the greatest Talmud Chacham. Moshe was the Anav Mikol Ish. Just like water, water drops always lowers itself and flows to the lowest location. Torah will descend to those who are meek, who are humble. Shfel ruach. The yam is shofel. The cavity of the ocean is very, very, very deep. And that's why the mayam is filled with mayim. Same thing, to whom, when Mashiach comes, will it be filled with mayim? Ein mayim el Torah. To those that make themselves, that prepare themselves in this world to be like the yam. Those, and it was the purpose of this world, the way before Mashiach comes, is to carve out that cavity. Person works, working his entire life to make himself into the yam, to carve out a deep cavity in this world to be an individual who is humble. Then when Mashiach will come, and Hashem will bring upon the world a shefa of mayim, hoy kol tzamei l'chulam, I'm in mayim el Torah, where will the water flow? The water will naturally flow to the deep, to the depths. So those that prepare themselves in this world to be the yam, to create that cavity, will be the recipient of the shefa, of the daya that Hashem will bestow upon the world when Mashiach will come. Okay, there was another thing, there's one other point I wanted to make in this pasuk, which I don't remember, so we'll leave it with this. Okay, so these are some very, very powerful pesukim. These are famous pesukim, and we'll stop here.